beginning to realize it, even though it's unseen and perhaps unrealized by the thing. And there is only one thing that will enable us to be effective in the work of God, that is to learn something of the dependence of the African upon the Lord, in chapter 1. And it says in verse 19, the apostle in his prayer that their eyes may be opened, praying that they may not only understand what is the hope of his calling and the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, but the things without mind for him in the third chapter. I also that many might know that their eyes might be opened to understand what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power that he brought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. Then we turn to Ephesians 10 and the third chapter. I want you to notice first, I mean. Now the apostle is praying here that they may come to comprehend and appreciate the scope of God's wonderful purpose. That they may be able to appreciate by the power and spirit of God what is the breadth and length and depth of height of God's plan and purpose for his people, and also to know the other side which has been offered. Both these things are completely beyond us in our purpose. But as the apostle admits that what he desires the saints to know, and this at the same time of their limited capacity to take in, he gives thanks to God and closes his prayer with these words. Now unto him, verse 20. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. So in chapter 1, verse 19, you have the power of the Lord, the water, demonstrated in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. The measure of God's power towards his people to put into effect his plan to execute that which he, the divine architect, has planned. The measure of his power to do that thing is demonstrated by the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ from the dead. That is power towards the ability of the people of God to comprehend the things of God. It depends not upon human intellect and human wisdom and human education. But finally, it is dependent upon the power of him that worketh in us. Power towards us, chapter 1, verse 19. Power in us, in chapter 3, and verse 20. Then how would you number up the dimension that we're considering today, chapter 6, and verse 10, may I call this the power of the Lord through us. Because the purpose of our being strong in the Lord and in the power of his might is that we might be able to stand against the wiles of the enemy. That we might be effective in the service of God. And that we might carry the word of God into heavenly territory and see that word taking effect. Now, I've already drawn attention to the fact that I want to mention again that the word in verse 11 concerning our attitude to the enemy is to stand against him, or, as you may read it elsewhere, to stand our ground or hold our ground against him. Or, as we pointed out the other evening in our survey of this epistle, Paul has said to us that we do not have to advance into enemy territory to gain something that is not really ours. The Lord Jesus has already overcome the enemy, potentially the territory is ours. We have the right to claim his blessings, to move forward in his name and the word of God. Otherwise, our claiming is before the gospel duty and our claiming is of any kind are all in vain and a waste of time. What a prayer you read when you pray in the name of the Lord Jesus, what you did. You say, Lord, this is where you have placed us spiritually. You put us in the place where we can be effective for you. And we are going to stand that ground that in the name of the Lord Jesus we come to thee now. Realizing that we are weak in ourselves, we will recognize that we can by the power of the Spirit is from the Lord and in the power of the Christ. Lord, we go against the foe, the rulers of the darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in the heavens, and we have no power against those forces in ourselves. But we are, our Lord, seeking to be strong in thee and in the power of thy might. And we stand our ground now in the name of the Lord Jesus. You've given us this territory for yourself. You've told us, Lord, to go into all the world and to preach the gospel to every creature. And here now, Father, the world more. This is the work you've given us to do. This is our sphere of operation under your direction. And we believe that we're acting according to your will now, Lord, we pray. In that precious prevailing name, release the power of heaven to and effect upon those powers of darkness that are holding our friends in darkness so that they are lost and on the way to hell. Lord, graciously make bare thine arm, for we have no power or life. First one of these children that we follow the Lord and the power of God is simply to stand our ground. For this is the work that the Lord has given us. We could possibly do it if the enemy had a real evil claim to that territory. But for this purpose was the Son of God manifested that he might undo, unravel. And in that way destroy the work of the devil. The victory has been won by him for us the mocking up of this. We are not working any victory on that. We simply stand in the victory that the Lord Jesus Christ has done. In that way, that word that we have hold your ground, please prepare the word of God. Let me share with you those little of my studies you may help to illustrate my point here about standing your ground. That word abide is in a different context. You remember in John chapter 15 that we have to abide in you. Oh, how I struggled as a young Christian to know what it was to abide in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, this may very clearly in those scriptures that that was the way to be faithful. And so I would keep telling the Lord in my prayers, Lord, I'm seeking to abide, and I was trying to sort of get to some place, I wasn't quite sure where, to some platform spiritually where I would be able to be effective in the work of the Lord. I'm sure I wasn't there yet, but I wanted to get there. And all that I was trying to get myself into that place where I would abide. And I read all the books I could lay my hands on about the story of God. By the time I was finished with them all, I was more confused than confused. Now, I don't say it'll be that way with you. I hope now this man is there with you. This man is there with you. But when I read all these different people who were thinking that after the victorious life, so on, whatever that may be, I'm not quite sure how it is. I know something about Christian life, and I have been to victorious life before. It's not a different type of life than the big house victorious life, it's just the life of God now, the Lord Jesus Christ. The victorious life. Yes. The working out of this world is another thing. Now let's not look in particular, but there are all sorts of details about different Christians and how they had entered into the three churches of the fall. Well, every one of them had a different story to them. If that was the mark by which they came into this question, and I wasn't quite sure what the question was, if that was the mark by which they came into this question, well, I wasn't in that situation. I couldn't walk down that path. Their destiny didn't help me. Tell me that there was a possibility of getting stuck there, we are right on now. And they came to that by walking this path. But I didn't know how to follow them. And so I was even more interested. And then one day, with the help of my reading free help, I suddenly find that from the dictionary of the New Testament word, it's commercial. I again looked up this word and I absolutely working out of the means to make it say exactly what you want. That's the word I need to. I was trying to get another word. suddenly dawned on me. And the Lord said to me, I have that one. All you are my guest, my heritage, and my resurrection. All you need is this word of this Sunday. Stay where you are. Now, isn't that something like our words here? Only on this here. Our words here are standing your ground and you are saying where you are, something like that. Only the thought here is not so much bearing fruit, although that may be true, it's not waiting for more. And what we have to learn, it seems to me, and I don't speak as one who has attained with all these things, but one who is seeking to follow after it that I have again, in truth. As I look at this verse, I see that I must firstly stand the ground that the Lord has won for me by virtue of his mighty resurrection day. And he is the mighty victor, and he is great, as it tells us in chapter 1, verse 19, far above all principality and power, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but in that which is to come. So when you're faced with problems, with the government in some foreign land, as we have faced these problems, don't go and wrestle with the government. Go to the Lord. For there are angelic forces that control the affairs of government and that change the minds of rulers. And therefore we as Christians ought to take pray for those in authority. So then, this is what we do. We hold our ground against. Now notice the next word is the wiles of the devil. The word wiles might be translated in the same way as the verses we have in chapter 4, and verse 14 is said there, it sees the end of the verse about the cunning practices of men, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Their deceitful scheming. These unprincipled false teachers deceive men with their actions with words. They corner them with their arguments. These are the only weapons they know. It's very deceitful. They use all sorts of psychological gimmicks to get a person where they want to be. Deceitful scheming. And the devil himself is stripped of his power, but he knows a great deal about deceitful scheming. He is a master at lying. Will you notice, please, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, on to the book there, and see how things are settled and coming in that second chapter, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, and verse 11. Just in order to get the meaning of this verse here, let me say that in his first epistle, Paul had warned the Christians, commanded the Christians, to put away from among themselves that man who had committed sin among us. He was to be disciplined by the church. And it may be that that very man is in view in verse 10, not commentator's wisdom. But at any rate, if it was not that man, it was someone against whom Paul himself had spoken. And the church had acted on Paul's words. In verse 10 he says, now it is time to forgive that man. To whom he forgive anything, I forgive also. Or if I forgive anything, to whom I forgive it, for your sake, forgave I it in the person's time. Now lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his divine sin. Paul was looking at the Corinthian situation and he knew how easily the church was divided over personalities. And how easily people can take sides on a church issue. How dangerous it is when in the church, in an assembly, some brethren take this view of the situation and others take that view. And those perhaps in minority can just take the majority view. Often the figures are passed on when certain brothers or sisters disagree in some way. They come around to that brother and instead of standing with their brethren, they kind of pat him on the back and say, never mind, I kind of think they're a little bit harsh with you. Now, if you feel that way and you might be justified, I would recommend you get down on your knees with your brethren and then come here by the mind of the Lord. But for an individual, this individual who is not representative, I assure him that the brethren are divided about the issue. Nothing more dangerous in the church than that. We ought to stand together in these things. Brethren ought not to act in these matters until they are finalized in the Lord. Partnership. Because Satan uses such a method, a difference of feeling, a difference of judgment, a lack of confidence in brethren living on the Lord. Satan uses these things to guide the church. To get tools of opinion, and that's what heresy is in God. Not necessarily false doctrine, but simply tools of opinion. Groups that think together around one thought or one idea, and they're disagreeing with others in the assembly or the church. And they can have a view. No, Satan has been divided, he can see he's divided the church. Now we need to be able to stand our ground against his brethren in the matters that then we visit it. So look again in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, please. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Now this is not in the church, but rather outside the church, in the work of the Lord. There are those, although they may affect the church, of course. Verse 13, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, there are those who are false apostles. These people were those transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. Now notice that they transform themselves into those who are the very messengers of God, the apostles of God. They appear to be men of God. They appear to be servants of God. They are only who is the one. They are only the most perfect of the Satan, as we know, for we are not ignorant of his devices, I hope. Satan, as we know, can use the scripture for his own purpose. All using it out of context, of course, but nevertheless, giving authority to what he has to say. Using the word of God. He did that as the Lord Jesus. In fact, he said to his prisoners, speaking of the angels, that would bear him up lest his feet should dash against the stone. He was using the strength. The Lord Jesus had to correct his quotation system. For Satan himself, verse 14, is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers, his servants, also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, who then shall be according to their work. Now, this reveals the way the devil comes to us. In some people, have an idea that the devil is not divine your kitchen, sometimes he wants that in a serial passage or in a prison, a comic prison. He dressed all in black and he has put Christ in his hand as a false face. That's very wrong. The evil of the picture, in an evil way, those who are businesses, spiritual businesses, taking the money and so forth. Very wrong for Christians to see the Satan in that way, or see the Satan taken in a derogatory way. Like saying, for example, the common expression, I don't need it, behold, seven, or something like this. We should be very careful how we put it in. Or even Michael the Archangel said the Lord produced him. So who are you as a person who produced Satan in that way? And to speak rightly of him, if angels themselves recognize that he still is in a place where he can exercise power and a measure of God. Therefore we need to be very careful. But you see he doesn't come in that form, that's really massive. I'm sure he forgot the cartridge of the picture in red, white, and black. I'm sure he forgot the book. That was the thing, people. They won't realize what the devil is doing. The faith of the devil really likes to walk in the mind and do the book. The faith of the devil is behind the book. Like you know, he was not believed. He Truly with me, meaning the truth, I truly word of God, but dealing in a relationship of truth, the one with the other, honestly. The word of God so bearing down upon my soul that I do not act as a deceitful man in any way, even spiritually. Always go down the truth.
There is a very important God who comes in the room again. How important is to be in truth with that truth? It says Lord Morley, after 40 years of public life, he said at the end of that experience for 40 years, meeting with many, many people, he only met four men in all his experience of public life. Four men that he was very well known to me.
And that truth will only happen in our lives. The rest of the armor won't fit very well unless we know what it is and our Lord himself now. With truth, I should let you be any more. Then it says we have on the right places. Now, brethren, this is not judicial righteousness, but practical righteousness. This is not that righteousness that we get as a result of believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. It is rather practical righteousness day by day. It is my responsibility to put this up. Now, I'm rather touched on the good afternoon, and I'm going to need to be. We don't even children in the family have to look at the rest they are. Or children in the rest, and pray for them. I remember now
that.
Have you ever noticed how the psalms again and again in his prayers and psalms plead his own personal righteousness before God, it will help you. Let him know it makes you know.
Yeah.
thing that I need to make the end. The Lord Jesus illustrates this for us at the end. His encounter with the devil, how he had the right answer. When the devil came and said this, the Lord Jesus said, it is written. And then the devil came and said this, and the Lord Jesus said, it is written. Now that is the Lord, which is the same of God that meets my need right now. Now we need to store God's word up in our hearts. And how does this put on the whole armor of God, my brethren and my sisters, we shall be able to serve him actively in the way of the life of God and come to you. Now I hope that these people might be blessed in you and they have been with you. And that we might be enriched by the Spirit to strengthen us and able to stand against the wiles of them. No one is to put on the whole armor of God. And as it says, it's dropped.